Afternoon, everyone, and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting at republicbroadcasting.org. Today is Friday, May 27th, 2022. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. I'd like to remind everyone, RBN is listener-supported, folks. Please donate whatever is manageable. Free speech is not something we can even expect in this day and age without it being funded by we, the people. So please help ensure RBN continues broadcasting this uncensored content well into the future. And you could use PayPal right on the RBN website donate page. You can call our RBN staff to donate via credit or debit card. Call in to donate at 800-724-2719. Extension 3. Or you can mail in that donation, cash, check, money order, payable to RBN 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And we greatly appreciate it, folks. I do have with me today a full panel, round table. Per usual, I have Stephen Douglas Whitener joining us. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Richard. Hello, everyone.
And I have William Reptilum here, folks. Hello, William.
No, it's ex-president Dwight Eisenhower. Huh. Who's William Reptilum?
Okay, Mr. Eisenhower, I don't... Never mind with him. You're a much better contributor today.
Yes, sir. I have much to contribute today. So, yeah.
Excellent. We also have from across the pond in jolly old England, our Irish counterpart, Paul Edward Stevenson. Hello, Paul.
Paul?
Paul is among us, I assure you.
Yeah.
And, I wanted to say that was
a terrific show yesterday that Paul and Willem Felderhoff and Dr. David Duke had. If you weren't listening yesterday, the listeners, you probably enjoy the archive from yesterday's show. It was terrific, very good radio.
Well, it really was.
What time was it on?
Oh, it was. That was yesterday's show. Paul was hosting my show yesterday with. William is co-host per usual, Willem Felderhoff, that is. And yeah, Dr. Duke came on because Paul has been regularly Dr. Duke's live Thursday guest on his broadcast earlier in the day. So he just happened to invite him on. And Willem, I guess Mr. Felderhoff had interacted with him on a couple of panels in the past. I don't know if maybe, don't quote me on that, perhaps Mr. Hitchcock was involved in one or more of them. I'm not sure who. They have mutual friends, I know, so... But yeah, it was a very interesting discussion because, I mean, they both voiced very friendly, but frankly, you know, their differences trying to make sense of, well, you know, where Putin fits into all of this with Jewish power and the World Economic Forum, New World Order agenda and all of these sort of things, you know. But they wanted to flesh it out more, you know. In a friendly way, and in a further date, they sounded like they were both favorable to that. And Stephen, you want to comment?
Yeah, I look forward to that. I hope that they will talk more in the future. That was a terrific show. We need to, you know, seek the truth. We don't always agree on the way there, and it's. I have reservations, but you know, more will be revealed, I guess, as time goes on about the thing, because this war agenda seems to be ramping up more and more, and that's just tragic. That breaks my heart the more I see it. But
hey, yeah. Mr. Stevenson, do you have better connection? Or maybe you're not quite with us yet. Paul, do we have you? Just wondering, maybe you, when you have a chance to comment as well on the discussion yesterday. I mean, you were there. You seemed, well, you expressed you agree with Dr. Duke and the Putin stance, basically. There's a lot of interesting points that both Dr. Duke and Willem Felderhoff brought up likewise, you know, about the... Well, just the past. I mean, the KGB past of Putin, for example, and you know, well,
there was the false flag attack political. That they did. That you know that was troubling too. These apartments were bombed. That yeah.
Right, and then just the changes politically in recent years. Some things that seem like they're more against these globalist Judaic agendas, and others maybe not as much. So Willem was right to point out, you know, fair to point out some of these factors in which Putin isn't as, but I mean, as far as the Christian thing, Dr. Duca stressed.
Can you hear me, Richard?
There you are. Yeah. Yes, I do. I do now, Paul. Yeah.
We got you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, it was an interesting discussion. It almost turned into a debate, which I hadn't planned, but it seemed that they had very different views on Russia. I mean, my views would line up with Duke's views. In fact, I actually thought some of Willem's views were rather strange, if I'm going to be completely frank about it. I thought to actually think that the West doesn't hate Putin, I just don't know where you'd get that from. In my lifetime, I've never witnessed a campaign and such an orchestrated campaign by Western media and Western politicians against one individual. So I'm not really sure where he got that from, but I guess it made interest in radio. But I'm surprised that maybe Willem and I hadn't spoken about Russia too much, because otherwise we would have ended up debating. But you know, the thing is, when you're looking, you have to contextualize Putin, and I think Willem perhaps was under the impression that we were saying that, you know, Putin is just the most amazing guy that ever lived. But, you know, we're contextualizing the fact that he is a target of extreme orchestrated hate from the West. And a lot of it is because if you look at where the Jews came from that make up the demographics of the United States, where did they come from? They came from Russia, mostly, at the end of the 19th century. And they never forget, and they haven't forgotten. And now Putin has restored Russia to much more of a nationalist identity. It's no longer the Soviet Union. And of course they hate him, because they're driven by resentment. And, you know, so they hate everything about the man. And he's not controlled by oligarchs the way Western leaders are. So, yeah, he doesn't. And also, you know, they were talking about Israel. I think the facade has dropped now, because Putin has been attempting for a long time to sort of cozy up to Jewish power and to sort of keep things sweet. And it's a fool's errand, in my opinion. And they actually, in Syria, Russia has now shot down some Israeli planes. So the whole facade of the friendly Israel-Russia thing, I think, is in the end stages, because Israel has promised to retaliate for that. But yeah, it was an interesting conversation. But as I say, I very much came down on the side of Duke's argument. There are questions about Putin, but you know, his relationship with Jews. If there's an article by Andrew Joyce. And again, like most of Andrew's articles, it is thoroughly researched. And I would recommend it to anybody. If you read it, you'll see the way and how the relationship and the dynamic between Putin and Jews, and including very much the Holocaust, is conducted. It's not done in support of that. What Putin likes to do is align himself as being victims also. He wants to share in the victimhood of the Nazis and, you know, and Hitler and all that. And that causes some tension, because the Jews want sole victimhood status when it comes to that. But Putin attempts to do that, so he supports these synagogues and this type of thing, and he goes to these sort of memorial days and stuff. But it is quite a complex relationship that he has with them, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Yes.
Great point. Sorry, go ahead, William. You want to comment?
Yeah, I mean, I pretty much agree with Paul. I think, you know, Putin has to be strategic, and he's a very smart, shrewd leader. And I think that's a great assessment about aligning yourself sort of with the Jews, in the sense that, hey, yeah, okay, you're victims, and I'm not gonna poke that bear about the Holocaust, you know, being fake or real. But he's also, didn't he erect a statue of Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who wrote the book 200 Years Together, And he exalted him and gave him an award and shook his hand and did something a few years, you know, back before he died. And Alexander Solzhenitsyn was one of the major exposers of Jewish supremacy and what the Jews did to Russia in the Bolshevism. So, I don't buy it.
That is true.
Putin is just bought and paid for by oligarchs at all.
No, there's no evidence for it. You can look long and hard, and you will not find any evidence for that. You know, he actually, you know, it plays on people's ignorance in the West when they try and attempt to say, oh, Putin's oligarchs. I mean, give me a break. This guy hates those guys, the Roman Abramoviches and stuff like that. They plundered Russia at the end of the Soviet Union, and, you know, they plundered the place, and he hates them. I mean, this guy's an ex-KGB. You know, he is not controlled by people. He's too sort of sagacious, and he's a pragmatist. But he's a complex character. And I think also the demographics of Russia came up, and I'm not an expert on that. But if you look at where Russia is, I mean, it is a massive landmass bordering how many countries. It goes right round to Turkey, Georgia. They're bound to have a hodgepodge demographics because of the way they're geographically situated, you know?
Yeah, they also border the United States almost by 50 miles. If you go up to Siberia all the way to the tip, they're right across from Wales, Alaska. 50 miles away of seawater in between Russia and the United States right there. I bet not too many people think about that.
That's interesting, yeah. So in other words, he might have some Mexicans there as well, is what you're saying.
Yeah, right. They get crossing over the Bering Strait.
Well, the West operates from this World War II cartoon myth history, and they forget or don't. Maybe they never even knew or realized that it was the Great Patriotic War in Russia. That wasn't the same dynamic. They were their country. They were fighting on their own country. They rallied the people as such as a great patriotic fight, and they still hold on to that. And they stopped the Third Reich. That Russia stopped Napoleon. You know, people forget Russia has been invaded before and pushed back. And I don't know if this just seems a folly to go try and invade that landmass that you're describing there.
Well, they stopped the Third Reich with the help of Jacob Schiff and company to the tune of about 5 billion. Otherwise, that would have never have happened. So they would have been done not for Jewish money rescuing them. What's his name was having a nervous breakdown. Stalin.
Well, yeah, and it was really a liberation that the Germans were trying to do. They were trying to liberate the Russians from communism, which had happened 20 years prior. And if they had been successful, a lot less Russians would have been exterminated by Jews, you know, afterwards. Already 30 million, I think the number was. But according to Alexander Solzhenitsyn, the number is 66 million. So we can say another 36 million Russians were slaughtered by Jewish henchmen in the Cheka. Or the NKVD, and then by that time it was the NKVD. It had been the Cheka before that, and then it was the KGB after the 50s. So he would have prevented that, you know.
And initially they were just trying to protect German national citizens in Poland or in surrounding countries that were being abused. Just kind of like what's happening what's happening now in the Donbass.
You have a lot of parallels.
In real quick, in the Ukraine, I don't remember which czar it was. It was not Nicholas, but I think it was Alexander II or first, one of the two, invited Germans to come live in Ukraine to help farm because they were excellent farmers and they needed efficient work on the farms there because really it's a major breadbasket, Ukraine there. And so there were a lot of ethnic Germans there. So there was persecution of ethnic Germans that was happening in Ukraine as well. And they were welcoming Hitler and the Germans when they came in. No, it was Operation Barbarossa, right?
Yes.
Right. I just noticed a headline, a Breitbart
Soros is saying, well, George Soros tells Davos elites, defeat Putin or civilization may not survive the climate crisis. but Paul, I'm sorry, what were you going to?
When will that guy just go and die? I mean, how old is he? About 140?
For real.
The climate crisis.
I mean, those guys,
yeah.
That latest Davos thing, I mean, the masks are off. These people just talk about ruling the world and what's going to be good for you. And, you know, there might be some suffering involved, but, you know, it's for your best. I mean, who the hell do these people think they are, you know?
And evidently there was this one video of the coup. Newland Pyatt, P-Y-A-T-T, Newland Pyatt Ukraine coup tape, video footage was removed from YouTube after being up for 8 years. The smoking gun proving U.S. involvement in the 2014 coup in Kiev has been removed from YouTube after 8 years. It was the most complete version, they say, of the intercepted and leaked conversation between then Assistant Secretary of State Victoria Nuland and Jeffrey Pyatt, the then U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, in which the two discuss who will make up the new government weeks before democratically elected Ukraine President Viktor Yanukovych was overthrown in a violent coup February 21, 2014. So, you know, yeah, they, I don't know, the more of the world is maybe looking into the history of the recent past, you know, and of course it's making the West seem ridiculous in this, but yeah, you have George Soros and Klaus Schwab. They're trying to use everything: climate change, COVID, monkeypox, you know, everything together as much as they can, right?
They never stop. It's just endless.
Submit, peasants, submit. That's basically what it boils down to. I mean, it's just the masks are off, like you said. They don't. They are in the room. The hidden hand is in the room and the wide open with us now. And I guess it's because they can act with impunity. They have no more fear of retribution. The arrogance of these people is astounding.
There's also, as far as touching on the monkeypox, Dr. Robert Malone says not really. There's not really a threat from monkeypox. And let's see, there was an article that Blacklisted News reposted. It's over at Brownstone Institute. World Health Organization deploys another disease threat to push global surveillance. And yeah, the threat posed by monkeypox is real, very real, or is it? They say, according to Dr. Robert Malone, not really, but you could be forgiven for thinking otherwise. The way in which the virus is being covered, Malone recently noted, provides a classical example of public health fear porn.
Yeah. And by the way, even the mainstream media now in the West is having to, you know, reality is imposing itself with what's happening in Ukraine. They're now reporting on Russian victories because, I mean, you can't keep that from you know, people forever. I mean, Russia now controls 95% of that Luhansk People's Republic. They've taken a load of Azov, that steel plant. They've taken a load of those Ukrainian fighters, including the Azov battalions, and even the BBC are now reporting on it and stuff. So, I mean, you know, they can't keep that lie going forever. And when that lie properly filters down that Russia is basically doing whatever it wants in there, there needs to be some pushback on the spending. All this money being printed up for the Ukraine, for what, you know?
We'll return to that after this break. Stick around, folks. I'll see you sometime later when I'm through with my accumulator. No social integrator. So one man isolator.
You know that nothing beats a storable food stockpile for readiness, but there are two problems with storable food. It's expensive, and eventually, it runs out. Then what? What happens to you or your family when there's not enough food to go around? In a true survival scenario, you need a renewable food source. That's why Seed Armory has developed a survival-grade seed vault that can produce over $25,000 worth of crops from just one kit. Unlike other seed vaults, we don't inflate our seed counts with fillers. All our seeds are 100% heirloom and non-GMO. Not a green thumb? Don't worry. We've written an easy-to-follow guide to guarantee your success from planting to harvest. For a limited time, we're offering an additional 10% off your order when you enter the code RBN at checkout. Go to seedarmory.com That's SeedArmory.com. Don't wait. Like everything else, seeds are in short supply.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Guess who just got back today? Them wild-eyed boys that had been away. Haven't changed, had much to say. But man, I still think them cats are crazy. They were asking if you were around. You was where you could be found. I told them you were living downtown, driving all the old men crazy. The boys are back in town. The boys are back in town.
I said
the boys are back in town. The boys are back in town.
And we're back, folks. Beyond the official narrative, Republic Broadcasting, and thank you to Julie for that bump. I'm with the boys back in town here, but I'm bugging out for a new town at the same time, getting all ready to go. And it's crazy. You reevaluate everything in your life when you look over all your possessions and have to box everything you own up, you know, all of your plans, all of the different phases and focuses you've had throughout eras of your life and plans to come. But yeah, definitely a great renewal potential in such a move. So very positive, and just it's really hectic. But I'm glad to be with the boys back in town here. While I do one more Friday roundtable in Chi-Rac. Beetlejuice Beyond Thunderdome, or I don't know what to call it here. But you know, I just saw a story. It was crazy. This guy, they're shooting a news broadcast in downtown Chicago, and this guy with a gun, he passes by, points it at the camera as he's walking by, and then he goes over down the street and points it at someone else as keeps walking. And amazingly, you know, obviously they couldn't hide that footage, so they had to comment on it again later. And yeah, this was just very recently.
I wonder if they'll find that guy. That he was still at large last I saw. That's just, I mean, yeah, that's insane. Talk about impunity, like.
Yeah, that one was, I don't know, Chicago style, they're calling it. Photo bomb, Chicago style. Man points gun at live TV crew. And this was Clark and Hubbard in downtown Chicago. Pretty funny if you check out the footage. Zero Hedge has the article. But I'm out of here. You know, we have like apps that mention the crimes in the area constantly going off, you know, where the people using it enter reports, civilians enter reports on it, and it's constantly going off in this city. You know, people don't even use the app. Well, we're headed. You know, I mean, there's so little crime. But you know, it's the Biden plan. You know, these big blue cities are their their power base for really lawlessness is a way of taking things down. But I don't know, William. Did you want to comment on the Ukraine situation, or perhaps on monkeypox a bit for us, or maybe no. maybe just this whole situation with the attack. I mean, in every way on our cost of living, really. I mean, it's just an attack from every direction at once. You know.
Yeah, I don't want to get too caught up in all the minutia of all of the, I can't even keep up with everything they're doing. So what I want to focus on, just me, I mean, not everybody doesn't have to do this, but I want to focus on the bigger picture and just go, let's not forget about, I'm just opening up Lorraine Day's book, just Deliberate Destruction. I'm really enjoying this book. I'm not quite halfway through it yet. I mean, it's just filled with excellent things. But let me just run through a few bullet points real quick. Okay, so who runs the world? This is section two. Jews confirm big media is Jewish. The Jews own Hollywood. The destruction of the family. Jewish perversion of education in America. The planned destruction of the U.S. military. Gun control. The Jews' big plan for disarmament of the whole world. Jewish control of U.S. immigration policy, the planned destruction of the U.S. economy, and the mafia is Jewish. So that's just section two. There's 12 sections. So you should get this book if you can get it. It's 2 inches thick, but you get through it pretty quick and got big, bold type and lots of illustrations. It's kind of like Mike King's books, you know. It's great books.
At my age, I like big type.
It's so important. It's more important than following all the details of what's happening presently. I'm not saying don't do that, but I'm just going to use it as reference points to the bigger picture and try to tie it all in that way. I'm accepting a new position here. I don't know what to call it yet, though. Big picture dude or something.
The view from 30,000 feet, maybe. I don't know. Just, I do like the way that she writes. I don't own her books at the moment, but that sounds like a good one. And I have a lot of respect for her having beat cancer the way she did. The things that she says, I agree with a lot of what I have read so far.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, thanks, Stephen, for that. You went with another point I wanted to make was that one of the things that she has is these Bible studies every Monday night, and I've been following those. And I got a new prayer, and that is getting away from degeneracy, because we've all been degenerated by all the music and everything in our lives. We're all degenerates to some degree. So I have a prayer that is to God, help me to seek you in all that I do. Put it in my heart to seek you in all that I do. And just that prayer right there is very powerful.
Well, here we have the break on that note. Thank you. We'll be right back. Public Broadcasting
Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth. Yesterday in Washington, D.C., a career politician said something really stupid. I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. Experts agree that ignorance and stupidity have crossed party lines. For example, one career politician who wished to remain anonymous said, "As soon as I got to Washington, D.C., I forgot all of my campaign promises and honestly couldn't remember why my constituents elected me." Studies have shown that politicians at the federal level almost immediately become deficient in common sense. As a result, the simple task of distinguishing a man or a woman can become difficult, and physical responsibility comes to mean spending more than the last guy.
Known as swamp rat syndrome, scientists say SRS becomes worse with time. Every day spent in D.C. eats away at the logic center of the politician's brain, making common sense thinking less and less possible. The only known cure for SRS? Ending re-election. Until tomorrow, Cibus Pacem, Parabellum.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC. 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
And we're back, folks, beyond the official narrative of public broadcasting. Richard Carey here with our Friday roundtable this May 27th. Stephen Douglas Whitener, Paul Edward Stevenson, and William Repillum. And, well, William, that was, very appropriate for these times. I don't know if Paul, you want to comment on, I don't know if you're familiar with this lady,
okay. But, you know, I agree with everything she said. I mean, she's on the money, and obviously she's echoing what we say ourselves. I mean, it's incredible to me that they can perpetrate the sort of abuse that they do, and they still remain unidentified. I mean, it is just the final taboo, you know. Everybody's terrified of being labeled an anti-Semite. It's very frustrating, actually, because it really is this massive elephant in the room, you know. Unfortunately, it takes people to, you know, you remember, we've said this for years, Richard, you know, it'll take people, if even then they will, I don't know, you know, to be hungry and to be, and their children to be hungry before they start asking who's doing this, how did it happen? Because otherwise people just want to remain, you know, polite, I guess, and not want to point the finger at the Jews. But eventually they've had the finger pointed at them in history, but they've done a lot of groundwork in the 20th century to sort of guard against that. And unfortunately, it's been very successful, you know?
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. As long as they have their bread and circuses, you know, their, well, you know, their whatever ability to have pubs with their beer and their football and whatever distractions with entertainment industry and yeah, we need people to really be feeling it, or they can't even even feed their family before maybe enough people will.
Yeah, I like that meme that Greg posted in our chat that has the it's got the Scooby-Doo cartoon guy pulling the mask off someone, but says there's a reason books criticizing Jews are banned on Amazon and books criticizing whites are required reading in college. Because of who runs it, I suppose, is why. But, you know, just, you know.
I sent that meme over to a friend. Yeah, I sent that meme over to a friend that I had sent, you know, a few weeks ago. I sent him a Brother Nathaniel video, and he was like, stop, it's not the Jews. I sent him that meme, and he sent me a thumbs up. So I think maybe I got through to him.
Well, you never know. Maybe he watched Brother Nathaniel and read something between now and then. It's always possible, I guess.
Right.
Brother Nathaniel for president.
I'd vote for him. I would.
Yeah.
Paul, you brought up a really good point, like about how they've set up shop over the 20th century. And I attribute that to escaping religious persecution in Europe and going over to the Americas and setting up their enterprise over here, which was, you can't decouple that very easily from the founding of America.
I spoke to Duke about that yesterday. They deliberately secularized the United States and Europe to create a buffer from their history, which is, you know, entwined with Christianity. So they've sort of removed that attachment to Christianity, so people are not looking at the history. So it's just this void, and then they fill that void with Jewish revolutionary ideas. And of course, then they've duped all the Protestants into, you know, supporting the state of Israel because of this nonsense and prophecies that aren't to be found and are misunderstood about the Jews being returned to that land. And I know you understand that very well as well, Willem. So, I mean, they've done very well. You've got to hand it to them.
Oh, they really have. And they've imposed their religion on us through abortion, as E. Michael Jones astutely pointed out in the discussion he had like last week.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because a rabbi came out and said, if you, you know, because they're screeching about, you know, the federal abortion law being rescinded, which, I mean, they could just do it in the, within the states. I don't know what they're screeching about. There was a rabbi that came out and said, if you get rid of abortion, you're imposing on my religion, Judaism. So they have forced Judaism down our throats with abortion.
Well, we're living under Judaism, you know. You know, it's like I remember saying to Jones, that, you know, if once you really leave the church, eventually you will end up in the synagogue because the Jews will fill that void and all their revolutionary ideas that we're living under. This is all part of the Jewish religion that they're imposing on you. So, and, you know, it's like, you know, you pay your tithes whether you realize it or not. I mean, and the Jew, the rabbi asks, you know, if you ask them, well, how much do I need to pay? And he says, well, we'll have it all. Thank you. Everything. Your life, your freedom, your money, your mind, you know, we'll have it all.
They only answer more, more, more. That's the only answer you get.
We will suck you of every last thing. Yeah, exactly. But of course, you know, people aren't aware of it because they're not looking at where these ideas are coming from, these Jewish revolutionary ideas. And so they're sitting ducks. But They've deliberately attacked.
I'm sorry, Paul. I agree with you too that Scofield, sabotaged culturally and politically the church over here during the 1800s. That whole the whole thing neutered the church, so to speak. Okay, just especially after the First World War.
And out of that came dispensationalism and Christian Zionism Jehovah's Witnesses, which was the 33rd degree Freemason Charles Taze Russell who started Jehovah's Witnesses as well, the late 1800s.
The ignorance about Israel today, it's so frustrating, and they really do. I mean, they've got this, you even have this Hebrew roots movement and stuff, and you've got these people sort of really, this kind of solidarity with Jews, and they feel as if they're, closer to Christ and things like that if they, start indulging in some of these Jewish religious rituals and all the rest of it. I mean, it is very tragic, and yet there isn't one prophecy in the New Testament, not one. I've been through it with a fine tooth comb that predicts the return of the Jews to that land. And all you will see, and you'll see parables where the parable of the vineyard where, Jesus asked what will happen to, after they kill the son. And Peter says they will utterly destroy those wretches or something like that. And he said that was, an analogy of what will happen to Israel after they killed Christ and that they will be expelled. They will be shut out from that land and never to be returned. And the land itself was only ever a type and a shadow anyway of the kingdom of God, And the sort of a biblical and spiritual illiteracy and ignorance among Christians is really breathtaking,
Absolutely breathtaking. Absolutely, Paul. I want to know a little bit more about the so they believe in the third return. It's the third temple. So building back the third temple, essentially, this is that satanic Rothschild exact complete inversion of the truth.
That type of stuff. What they do is they take old prophecies that actually already were fulfilled. So they'll go into prophecies and that were pre the second temple, and they just ignore the dating of it. They'll just, you're thinking, the Jew, that prophecy was fulfilled when the Jews were returned, because they can't appeal to any texts in the New Testament because they don't exist.
And the New Testament is filled with what the New Covenant is attributed to, which is to the Christians, those who follow Christ. So Hebrews 8 is a good one there. Romans 11, Paul talks about it belongs to those who follow Christ. There's others, but nothing in the New Testament says anything about the Jews being God's chosen people. No. That's not the case. The true Israel is the body of Jesus Christ now. And by the way, the Israelites, not Jews, were waiting for Christ to come. And so even before Christ came, this is the words of Lorraine Day. I agree with it. The Israelites were Christians waiting for Christ to come, and then these Cretans killed Christ, and they became ungrafted from the covenant at that point. Jesus had already condemned them for what they were already doing in John 8:44. You are of your father the devil, and those works of your father you will do.
Yeah, that's right. And also, if they built a temple there. And they might eventually do it anyway, even though there's no prophecies about it. That would be a rebellion against Jesus Christ. Christ, fulfilled all those things were types and shadows of Christ. There's no need for a priesthood. Paul says, the church is built up of living stones, with Christ being the chief cornerstone. So the church itself is also a fulfillment of the real temple and Christ. Where the Holy Spirit, the Holy of Holies, dwells. There's no need for a priesthood, which is why I'm not a Catholic, because of some of the nonsensical theology. It was all fulfilled. And this is why the whole idea of Judaism today is a complete pile of nonsense, because the actual Judaism or what you would refer to as the Old Testament religious system, it was based around sacrifice and the temple. And of course, Christ fulfilled that. He was the ultimate sacrifice. And these things were all types and shadows of the ultimate fulfillment of the Messiah in Christ. And by the way, it's very interesting. If you ever read, I've interviewed him a couple of times, a guy called Michael Heiser. He's done a lot of work where you can see Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, because it is a bit of a stumbling block for people. They're thinking, where is this Jesus guy come from? All of a sudden, you know, and atheists say this as well. You've got this wrathful God in the Old Testament and then this nice guy in the New Testament, which is not true. You know, it's just that it's a longer period of history. So you see God suffering these lawless rebels, and then eventually he lowers the boom on them. But also, when I first read the Old Testament expecting to see, you know, peaceful, you know, hippie Christ running around, the first thing I felt whenever I read the Gospels was fear of the Lord. And the guys, the apostles, his disciples, they were scared too. They were walking behind him one time. They were talking about which one is going to be the greatest and all that. And they thought that Jesus had heard them and they were scared. So it's the same guy. And Jesus talked of, for all his patience and his love, he also talked of judgment. And he talked scary type things, you know. So, but anyway, it is helpful to see Jesus in the Old Testament, and it is fascinating because you see these two deity figures, and you're like, well, which one, you know, which one is it? And you see that there is two characters at work here, you know.
Are you talking about Archangel Gabriel, who was supposed to be Jesus?
See two characters. Well, there's two characters that you see, but they are both deity. They both have the same authority as God. So it's not like there's like, you know, by the way, some of the rabbis recognized this and they speculated about who the second one was. They thought maybe it's, maybe it'll be Abraham returning or something, or they thought maybe it is the Archangel Michael and this type of thing. But it has the same authority. It's referred to as the name of the Lord quite a lot. There's a Jewish guy, actually, Alan Siegel, wrote a book, The Two Powers and the Godhead. So some of the Jews recognized there was these two figures. So that was the, you know, the two parts of the Trinity. And then, of course, you know, Jesus then spoke about the Holy Spirit as well. And he talked about, in John's Gospel, he talks about the Father, and I'm in the Father, and he's in me. So you have this kind of, you know, even though it's difficult to understand, you have the Trinity asserted there. And the Muslims, of course, reject this, not because it doesn't affirm it, but because they impose their will on what God can and can't do. I remember having a debate with a Muslim, and I said, can God do anything? And he said, oh, yes, Allah can do anything. I said, but according to you, you can't become a man, right?
And I am no scholar, religious scholar, but I've heard that there's this thing with the prophecy in that third temple about a red heifer being sacrificed, and supposedly that's all ready to go. some GMO thing, they've genetically modified this red. That came to mind while you guys were talking about that. I don't know. I know that there's something else.
They're looking for one
right
yeah.
now. There's a mosque there now, right? That's that where they say they're going to build it again. So that could cause a little trouble. Hey, you guys, we have some callers. Would you like to take a caller? Maybe Patrick in Texas. First, Patrick.
Sure.
Yeah, great. All right. Patrick, Hello? Are you on? Can you hear us, sir? Yeah, hi, Patrick. How are you doing today, sir?
Yeah, I've got it loud and clear. I think I like what y'all are doing. Y'all are expanding the scope of what instead of just talking about the Ukraine, you talk about, you know, the Romanov. How they went after the Mennonite, the Jews went after the Mennonites, and speaking about the other guy, David Duke, he says, I saw a Christian identity people, you know, you're wrong. And, you know, there's skeletons that go back, you know, 10 million years or something, the way he said. But, I think he's wrong. I really do. You know, there's archaeology now, just like a Rosetta Stone. You know, you translate a several languages. We've got the benzene rock, which translates three different languages. And we now know that we went into captivity in Syria, and they just changed the name, but they didn't call us Israelites. They call us other names, the Scipians, and such as that. And these archaeologists have cracked that. And coupled with what we know, there's no doubt about it. just like everything else, these Canaanite people, cannibals, they steal your identity, they steal your mind, they steal everything. And that's what they've done. They are actually Pharisees, which are Canaanite. And Dr. Lorraine Day does a good job. Matthews and Scott done a fantastic job yesterday. I think they were Duke shouldn't try to cut us down like that. Go ahead and give us the whole thing. You know, it's like Saxon, the sons of Isaac's son.
I'm having a little bit trouble understanding. You might think maybe if you back off from the microphone just a little bit, I hope that's not just me, but it just kind of, I didn't catch the last sentence.
Some of the words are
said.
Getting a little muffled.
Yeah, it got a little bit muffled, but yeah. Gentlemen,
evidence is clear. There's tons of evidence. All the coat of arms, the English-Saxon, that's Isaac's son, and the Hebrew is not what the Jews teach. This is it's a Yiddish, which is a slang German. It's not it. Ancient Hebrew is almost identical to English. The words are so incredibly close. You're like C-O-O-L is K-U-E-L. You know, in Hebrew, ancient Hebrew. It's just they've got a cold. They know they do. But you're going to have to get people like David Duke to quit trying to shut us down. And y'all guys are doing a good job. I just chime in a little bit. Y'all have a good day.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you, Patrick.
Okay. Okay, and we have Charles in Florida. Charles, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hi,
yeah,
Charles.
I can hear fine. I don't know if you can hear me.
Yeah, you're coming in great.
How you doing? All of you. The rebuilding of the temple, we've actually gone past the number of so-called temples, the Temple of Solomon originally, who probably didn't exist anyway, like David. They were archaeologically, there's no proof that they existed. Was Raphael Pitai, and who's an Israeli writer, and Robert Graves wrote Hebrew Myths about it. But anyway, there were actually, the third temple was being rebuilt under Julian the Apostate, who was trying to revive paganism after the time of Constantine. He had an agreement with Jews. He tried to rebuild the temple, and the temple, they couldn't rebuild it because of the earthquakes, so they had to stop. Of course, Julian the Apostate was only an emperor, Roman emperor, for seven years, but he tried to rebuild the third temple, Julian the Apostate, when they tried to build a temple.
And I think what happened was there was a major explosion, and they just
the third
thought,
time.
And I think it was God's intervention. It's just, I don't think God would allow that temple to be built. So let them crack on. You'll probably see some more weird things happening.
This would be the fourth time now if they're going to rebuild it now. I wanted to talk about, did you know in Spain that 2,200 of the politicians and elite of Spain, the police are investigating for having false, taking the falsifying the records of taking the COVID shots. So at least one country is saying that they took saline solutions instead of the real vaccine in order to celebrities in Spain.
This comes from the Spanish government itself.
This is on Odyssey, and also on the truthseeker.co.uk.
This thing that they're doing in Davos with the World Health Organization, if they, in a couple of years, they'll have the complete legal framework to have this whole thing with the prison planet with your vaccine or digital ID and your whole life there. It's just, it's the it's terrifying to see what that they're hashing out there and doing it right out in the open too. It's an arrogance that just befuddles me. But yeah, well, hey,
the World Health Organization. Yeah. You just demand everybody have universal vaccine passports. You have to have a shot. You won't be able to travel anywhere. Already it's
and
that way.
And they're pushing this ESG.
Canada, they can't travel here. Canadians can. You know.
I had heard, Charles, that Canada had ramped back up the lockdown and the mask hysteria over the monkeypox, that it was just, and I don't know, maybe some of their Canadian listeners can tell us if it's gotten that bad again. I'd heard something about along those lines, but yeah. Thanks very much for the call.
Okay, Charles, well, thank you.
I'll get to, I don't think I have time for everybody here, but Eric in Texas, are you? Can you hear us? Maybe gentlemen,
you hear me all right?
Paul, there you are. Yeah, is that Eric?
Okay, yeah.
Just have about a minute. Go right ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. So I just wanted to mention, I think there is a reference to a temple, not necessarily the right temple, in coming in the future. There's different ways to go about showing that. I would say maybe when Christ is goes into the temple and clears it out and says, before that, he curses the fig tree, and then he goes in and then curses them because they're fruitless like the fig tree. And then in Matthew 24, when he's saying, know the parable of the fig tree, it'll be when it's sprouted back, putting forth leaves, you know that time is near that he's going to return. That's a reference to the temple ministry back in action and operation, doing their fruitless works. And so you can also view that from Paul when he says, when you see the abomination, or he also references the abomination, but when he says, when you see the lawless one set up as God, you know, on the throne, there was only one throne in that area in the temple, and that would have been the holy place. So he's going to be set up as God. And then in Revelation 13.
Yeah. But you have to remember, when Paul was writing, the temple was still there.
Right. And so that never happened. There was no one ever set up. So if it's going to be fulfilled, then you would have to be something coming later.
Well,
a lot of people, the preterists.
Epiphanies.
Okay. And then also in the blue.
Richard, drop off. I think there. I hear the music coming up, fellas. Thanks very much for the call, William, Paul. Hey,
yeah,
thanks
no,
a lot for doing this.
No,
is Richard still there?
Yeah, no, I'm here, and thank you. Yeah, gentlemen. Yeah, Paul, did you want to finish that?
No, it's fine. We're running out of time.
All right. Well, thank you, gentlemen. And next time.
Thanks, guys.
I'll be back for next Friday's roundtable in a brand new state. Sorry to the callers.
Safe travels to you there, Richard.
Oh, thank you, William. Sorry about the callers we missed, Tom and Tom. Hope to speak to you gentlemen next week. Transcend the construct, folks. Regards.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.